Welcome back to another episode of the Exterminatus Podcast, your one-stop shop for all things competitive in the world of Warhammer 40,000. My name's Eric. I'm your host tonight, and with me is my co-host, Ray.
Hello.
And we are back jam-packed. We're going to have to try and keep this to our usual hour-long format. It's going to be a tricky process, but we have new chapter tactics to make sure that happens. Hint of what we're going to talk about tonight. So last week, we were all excited about possible Gen Con releases by Games Workshop, as well as the other game companies. It was interesting the way it came out. Corvus Belli kind of came out first. They kind of put out a big splash about what they're going to come out that Monday. Then GW came out Thursday, and boy, we were blown away by the new Lizard Man Blood Bowl team. Really? We posted it on our website. I know some of you guys play those games, but it's been so dry for so long for 40K, specifically 40K. I'm not talking about Kill Team or Deptus Mechanicus. In this case, they brought back Aeronauticus, the airplane game. So now you can play X-Wing in the 41st millennium, whoop-de-doo. Then Friday, everybody else came up the bat. So Privateer Press, Fantasy Flight, and whoever the heck makes the Gloom game. I can't remember what it's called. Anyway, so I was like, okay, neat. And then Saturday, Games Workshop came back, and basically they rope-a-doped the competition. They came back with all things 40K, and they just dropped it down. Ray, do you want to talk about what they talked about on Saturday?
All right, so the Saturday stuff. First off, it did not actually happen at Gen Con. It happened at Warhammer World. They had an event going on there for Apocalypse, and that's where they actually decided to put this. So, going up for pre-order this weekend and for release next weekend is the new updated Space Marine Codex, the second edition, which I've talked to some people who've been in this game longer than I have, and they've kind of compared it to the third edition Codex in a way.
Good comparison.
So the Codex itself is going to be good for your basic player who's just kind of doing their own thing. But if you want to focus on stuff like maybe White Scars or Ultramarines, you're going to get your own Codex supplement for that. And if you're one of those people who like to collect the new collector's editions, that's where you're going to get it. You're not going to necessarily get it with the overall codex, except for the $200 expensive one, which kind of has some good stuff in it. But, so yeah, we got that. The Ultramarines and the White Scars are going to get their own, the cards, the data cards. There should be one coming with just the basic codex. They're going to get dice, and they're also getting miniatures in the form of the new Primaris Chief Librarian Tigerius and Corsaro Khan. Sorry, folks, he's not on a bike of any sort. He's on foot.
But both of them did the Kalgar, and they are now Primaris Marines.
Yep. Also, we're going to see the release, finally, of the Primaris Lieutenant, which I still have to laugh because, we had Primaris Lieutenants that you could just buy singles of for Dark Angels and Blood Angels. And this is finally the time when the Vanilla Marines are going to be able to buy one without having to buy one of the starter boxes. And also for the White Scars, we're seeing a Primaris transfer sheet and Primaris upgrades. Which is, so the shoulder pads with the raised symbols, and the extra little, arm options and head options.
But that's not all, folks. If you remember back, there was a video. We kind of speculated a 726 or something like that would be released. So we're about a week late. But they showed a new Primaris Marine, and then in the background, there was these blurry figures. And if you squinted real hard, you could tell that the silhouettes did not match anything that had been released up to this point. They are now available, pristine, high def, super in focus, and we're getting quite a few new models for Space Marines. So the first one is the... So basically anything from Shadowspear is now going to be readily available. They also mentioned that everybody who looked at the Apocalypse data sheets and those Eliminators had an extra weapon. That'll be included too. So everything's ready to go. But there's a new Dreadnought, which is interesting because A, it looks like the guy can get in and out of it as opposed to the regular Dreadnoughts where it's like the walking casket. And a couple of my friends basically said it hit it right on the head. It looks like the guys from Avatar, the walkers that killed all the blue people. But apparently it is designed to help out the scouts and the Eliminator. So it has all this like sound dampening type equipment, and it's belong to, so we don't know if it's going to actually have the infiltrate ability, but it's kind of hinted that it does. So we'll get some more information as that comes out. There's also going to be a Primaris Rhino. Just like a Repulsor, it is actually a hover tank. It's called the Impulsor, which is a perfect name for it because I do most of my impulse buying at the hobby store. And we don't need anything in terms of troop capacity and anything like that, but looks pretty interesting that it's the hover variety. So we've got a couple of new units there. As I mentioned, Coserocon and Tigerius in their lovely Primaris faction. But probably the interesting thing right off the bat is that the full spectrum of units will be available to the Adeptus Astartes, even if you're a Blood Angels, Space Wolves, or Dark Angels player. So I thought that was interesting that they will expand. Now, no idea if that means Deathwash don't get to play with this new stuff. We will see, but if you look at the pictures here, the supplements, which are going to retail about $30 a pop, as opposed to the full Codex, which is $40 a pop. So Ultramarines are the first one out of the chute, but they do looks like there's about four additional ones coming out later. We don't know what they will be. So anyway, in addition to the new supplements and all the new tools, every Space Marine currently in the game got another rule. So this is in addition to the Bolter Beta rules. It's called Shock Assault. So we don't know exactly which models have this ability, and that's yet to come. But if this unit makes a charge, is charged, or performs a heroic intervention, add one to the attacks characteristic of this model until the end of the turn. Pretty interesting. So end of the turn, and it says real quick, yes, all Adeptus Astartes, the Grey Knights, and Death Watch will receive this ability, as well as all the Traitor Marines, Chaos Space Marines, Death Guard, and Thousand Sons all get this ability. So when you start looking at things in terms of how they synergize that extra attack on the charge, starts to add up very quickly. So I thought that was pretty neat. Last but not least, as Ray mentioned, a lot of people are liking this to the third edition Codex, simply because it's back, folks. The creation of your own chapter. So this is something that was a great idea. People had a lot of fun with it, but from a competitive standpoint, it was a complete failure. But back then, that third edition Codex was back when Games Workshop was pretty much quagmired and unbalanced. So I'd be curious to see if the 8th edition version will be much more balanced. I'm sure it will, based on the way they've been operating. But to read verbatim, whether you've always had a particular theme in mind for your chapter, or if you like to represent on the battlefield, or simply wish to enhance your favorite playstyle, you can now be your own chapter master. Simply pick 2 successor traits from a long list of awesome choices included in the Codex, and you're good to go. So apparently you will be able to make your own chapters. Very exciting. You'll also get a taste of this as some of this will also lend itself as a new Kill Team starter pack. Will include Space Marines as well as Tau.
Well, to be honest, they're going to be Space Wolves, aren't they?
Let's take a quick look. I just skimmed it real quick. The new box features a kill team of Space Marine Reavers, the Fangs of Ulfric, pit against Fire Warriors. So it looks like they are Primaris Space Wolves. And they also give you all the Mechanicus terrain this time around. But the same, looks like everything else is the same from this basic set. So just when you thought, wow, okay, what else are they going to include? So we got Space Marine Codex. We got a whole bunch of new models. We got a new rules update. What else could they announce? Well, how about the trailer for the long forgotten but not forgotten in our hearts, Codex Space Marines, the TV show. That's right, the animated show. Once again, in a trailer has come out. Wasn't quite as in-depthful as I thought it would be, but it was still looks really, really good. Graphics look really in line. Voice acting looks pretty good. Super excited with this. I guess what they're all waiting on is a distribution platform, but they have not ruled out to simply make it available on their website. So I'm super excited for this.
I just hope it's not something that's behind a paywall, honestly.
Depends on
I guess I should say a special paywall. You know, like if it's available, like make it a Netflix or a Hulu, not GW deciding that they're going to have their own.
See,
I guess that's what I'm saying.
I'm afraid that's what it's going to end up being. And if it's something like Black Library, where you just, because they have Black Library has their own app now where you can download things directly. If it's through that, it's not the end of the world. I just don't want to watch it on my phone. You know, I'd rather watch it on my TV. So,
well, that's when you get a smart TV.
Yes, well, it's one of those days. We'll get one of those. I still have my Roku puck, you know, attached to my old phone, my old TV. But anyway, so that could be another opportunity. So, but so we got the TV show. We've got a new codex. We've got new models. Ray and I have been talking about this all summer. When's the new campaign starting? And then it happened. Ray, do you want to give us a hint of what's this new potential campaign this autumn?
I would love to, but I missed that bit of news.
So there's a new thing coming out called, make sure I get the name right here. They have a little trailer. And I think it's Psychic Awakening. And all they'll say is, this one's still a bit of a secret. All we say for now is that the new galaxy-spanning event is going to have a significant impact on every Warhammer 40,000 faction. It looks like the Dark Millennium is about to get a whole lot darker. And when they say that, they there's a, like a narration and this weird symbols kind of, you know, kind of like a 3D super, you know, super close zoom. And then when it zooms back out, it's a very weird symbol. It's imagine taking the eye from the Inquisition, not the eyeball, but the letter I that the Inquisition uses. And then you take the Thousand Suns eyeball and put it right in the middle. So I'm really curious what this is, what sort of event this will be, but it's supposed to affect every faction. Now, not every faction has a psychic, so I'm curious to see how they do this. So it's currently 10 o'clock on Monday as we record this. I'll be putting out my prediction. They're going to take endless spells from AOS and port them over the 40K. That's what I think it is.
Well, if it's going to affect every faction, then they have to find some way to include certain factions that don't have psychers for one reason or another. I mean, Tau have none, Jukari have none, Necrons have none. True. So they have to find some way to address it.
True, and I'm glad you mentioned that because they have addressed it in AOS. For example, the Fire Dwarves, instead of having, and Khorne actually have their versions of endless spells, they're just not spells. They, for example, Khorne has that altar, and it gives like a buff to everybody near it. And there's a, I think even the Beastmen, they have like herd stones, and they provide buffs to their army. So they're not quite the spell. Like I don't cast it and move it around like a flaming skull that eats people like some of the other armies that are more psychically attuned, but every army has at least three of these gizmos on the table, and even if they're not too psychically attuned. So I'm like, okay, interesting. So the fluff wise, wasn't the Uncadia, whatever was keeping the Eye of Terror from spreading, weren't those Necron designs? I can't remember what they were called.
Yeah, the pylons.
Yeah. So I could see, to your point, that Necrons now can put pylons on the table. and they work like the old pariahs. They're a null zone. Good luck getting your powers off within 12 inches of this little piece of terrain now.
I think I can honestly say I'd rather have them bring back the pariah and have a new model for it than have,
that too, yes.
But it's going to look like, we're basically just going to have some obelisks on the table.
Pretty much.
I don't mean the vehicle, the obelisk. I mean the actual, ones that you see
in Egypt,
in real life. Yeah, yeah, in Egypt. Yeah.
Suddenly I have visions of ancient aliens going through my head. Our next guest is Giorgio Tsoukalos. But I definitely, to your point, yeah, I could see it being like, what was that terrain piece they came out for? It was so unbalanced because it was just for Imperium. Animarium Imperius or something like that. It was basically the Space Marine statue. And basically,
I've never seen the reading kind of rules for that. It was just a terrain feature for me.
Yeah, but if you read the rules, they're god broken. I mean, it was something like, oh, if you're within 3 inches of this and you're an Imperial keyword, you're fearless. I'm like, what? Oh, great. And this thing's only like 2 inches by 2 inches. So here's my guard blob and here's my statue. Ah, go ahead and take me down. You're going to have to inflict 148 wounds. Ah, great. And then there's even a chaos version, but it wasn't actually a real model. Some guy's conversion, but there were no rules for that. But I could see stuff like that. More stuff like the Nocturne Ring, and hopefully they'll fix the webway rolls. Oh, God, I hate that thing.
Yeah. I knew Space Marines was coming because of Shadow Spear. I knew it was going to come soon. It's why I think it's funny that there are at least some people that are really, bummed that, here's Space Marines, but it's kind of at the same time, it's kind of like, come on, guys, you knew this was coming. I hope they get to the other factions now that they're getting this one kind of out of the way.
Yeah, me too. You sent me a meme, and it hurt because it was true. So there's a picture of like a really angry mom. They're screaming, and their hair's all... It says, we're still playing with fine cast and metal models. And there's a Primaris Marine in the repulsor tank going like, peasants. So, yeah.
I'll post that on the Facebook page for anybody who wants to actually look at that or use it for their own. But I'm sure plenty of people have probably already seen it just on some of the other pages.
I know it's not a feature we do on this show, but for those who are interested in my hobby progress... Yeah, I spend most of it converting one of the CLs from Age of Sigmar into Mandrakes, because all my fine cast Mandrakes look unarmed because all the swords broke off.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So now we've got a bunch of CLs I got to paint to make look like Mandrakes. So busting out the gloomed hex green, whatever that paint's called. And... much less, I was also looking at my incubi there. They're all broken. And then my fine cast Archon bit it. A piece of terrain fell on him. And so he snapped into three pieces in mid game. I was like, I guess he failed the shadow save. But so yeah, I'm still waiting for those models. And you guys are getting new units. What's up with that? Clearly, somebody from Corvus Belli has joined Games Workshop's development team. That was a shot. So again, lots more going on over the weekend. Several tournaments to get over. Ray and I are going to dive in deep into the new rules that were discussed this morning regarding the Space Marine Codex, and a little bit later in the show in our main discussion point. But after the break, we're going to dive into the tournament news. Be right back after this.
Are you a gamer that has more bare plastic than you have time to paint? Do paintbrushes spontaneously combust when you hold them? If either of these is true, contact White Crow Studios and get your models painted by a college-trained professional painter. You can contact Bo at whitecrow.commissions@gmail.com and view his previously painted models at White Crow Studios on Facebook.
come back after the break. As we mentioned, a plethora of tournaments to get to. With no further ado, Ray, where we start our coverage.
All right, we're going to start off with T-Shift Open 2019. So in fifth place, we had Nathaniel Williams playing Eldari. In fourth place, Jason Ryder playing Ultramarines. Third place, we had Michael Tempe playing Necrons. Second place, Scott Cairns with Imperium. And in first place, we had Jim Vessel playing Chaos.
And Jim, good news. I just remember if I not previously reported it, he got his army back. So whoever stole his army at the Toronto airport opened the bag and went, what the hell is this? And left it lying around, and somebody from airport security found it and thought, this must be what that weirdo was looking for, and returned it to him. So he got his army back. But he is playing a slightly different list and looks something like this. Starts off with a Supreme Command detachment of Thousand Suns. Not much different from what he was racking before. Ahriman, Demon Prince of Zeech with the Malefic Talons Wings, making him his Warlord with Helm of the Third Eye. And then Demon Prince of Zeech also with wings. But this is where it gets a little different. He starts off with a battalion for Chaos Undivided. He adds a Change Caster, a Demon Prince of Chaos with the Khorne version with the big axe to chop down knights. But then he added a Contorted Epitome. That's the big Slaaneshi mirror looking thing. A unit of 20 blood letters, a unit of 30 horrors, and a unit of 10 brimstone horrors. Interesting. Finally, he rounds it out with another battalion of demons. This one, Old Nurgle, Poxbringer, Sloppity Bilepiper, 3 Nurglings, and then 2 units of 30 plague bearers, one with the instrument, both with demonic icons. 14 drops and 14 command points. Thank you for putting that on your list, Jim. So, interesting enough, the Dreadnought with the conversion beamer is gone. No longer part of the list. All right. Yeah, seeing a lot more of those epitomes there. I need to really brush up on how those really work. I remember glancing over the rules and go, I don't see the fascination. But people swear by them, especially when going up against psychic counters. Then Scott Cairns, who came in second, rocking a Astra Militarum base list, starts off with an Imperial Fist Tank Company, 2 tank commanders, actually 3 tank commanders, all with battle cannons, and the Hammer of Sunderance Relic. I have to look that one up. I don't remember what that does off the top of my head. 3 units of 10 infantry squads, a Ministorum Priest, and 2 Leman Rus Conquerors. Second detachment is also a battalion. This time around, it is the Emperor's Wrath Artillery Battery, Colonel Strachan, a company commander, followed by 3 10-man squads, a Basilisk, and a Wyvern. And then finally, he adds the set aside 85 points and 2 command points for the Operative Requisition Sanctioned. So that's the Assassin du Jour. And then last but not least, he's got a Blood Angels detachment. It's got a Captain with Jump Pack, Storm Shield, and Thunder Hammer, surprise, surprise. Chief Librarian Mephiston, and 3 units of Scouts.
Take me to the front.
All right, let's move on to the next tournament. All right, the next one is the Mags Finals at Gen Con 2019. In fifth place, we had Jonas Beardsley playing Eldari. Joshua Gilbert came in fourth with his Imperium. In third place is Stephen Pamperine playing Orcs. Second place was Chris Kentrup playing Assyriani. And in first, Aaron Along playing Imperium.
Yep, Aaron's list is pretty typical to what we've been seeing him play recently. Starts off with the Astromaterium with a Cadian Brigade. Company commanders, Primaris Psyker, and the second company commander. It looks 5 infantry squads and 1 unit of Scions with hotshot las pistols and las guns. Astropath, 5 Bulgrin, platoon commander. And then in the fast attack slot, he's got the Scout Sentinels with multi-lasers and 3 mortar squads. Then follows that with a Blood Angels battalion featuring a Librarian Dreadnought. That's something new and different. Captain with Jump Pack, the Storm Shield, and Thunder Hammer. Seen a lot of those. And a Lieutenant with the same, with the Fernal Pistol this time, and a Thunder Hammer as well. three units of five scouts, and then a Vanguard vets with five jump packs, storm shields, infernal pistols, and a power fist. And the sergeant also has a hammer. Last but not least, he throws in a super heavy auxiliary detachment featuring Rupert D. Gilliman. And that is indeed his warlord. And for a little added fun here, the Asuriani list that come in second with Chris Kentrup starts out with an air wing featuring three Crimson Hunter Exarchs and two Hemlock Wraith Fighters. They're, of course, all Aletok. Then he starts out with a Craft Worlds Battalion featuring Eldrad and a Warlock with a standard kit, and then a Guardian Defender block of 20 with two heavy weapons platforms and two units of five Rangers. Outrider detachment featuring Sam Hain Wild Host from Vigilus, and he has the Autok Skyrunner, Farseer Skyrunner, and a Hornet, and a unit of three Wind Riders, followed by a unit of eight Wind Riders, all with Scatterlators. Yeah, that one's pretty interesting. I've looked at that Hornet. He took the basic stock Hornet, by the way, the Shuriken cannons. I've had a lot of Hornets were awesome in 7th edition. They're vastly disappointing in 8th edition. So I'm surprised to see how he did with that.
Demon, fear my wrath.
Where are we off to next?
All right, the next one is the Boardroom Brawl 2019.
I love the name of this event.
And we had... That's a good one. In 5th place, we had Brody Mader playing Deptus Custodes. In 4th, Matt Czar playing Imperium. 3rd place was Scott DeWinter Wilkie playing Drukhari. In 2nd place, Dean Obrey playing Chaos. And in 1st was Miles Scott playing Aletok.
And his list looks something like this. He's got opening battalion, a Farseer Skyrunner, a Warlock Skyrunner, the aforementioned Guardian Blob, and two Rangers. And then he's got a unit of five Wind Riders, all with Scatter Lasers. Then he adds an Air Wing featuring two Crimson Hunter Exarchs and two Hemlock Wraithwing Wraith Fighters. I can get that out. And then he follows it up with a Craft World Spearhead featuring an Autok Skyrunner. And 1, 2, 3 Fire Prisms, two of them with the Crystal Targeting Matrix. So I guess where all his strong, heavy firepower is coming from. So that'll sit in the back somewhere, take advantage of that nifty stratagem, rerolling hits, reholding wounds. And then the Skyrunners run around a lot of anti-infantry, and then the Crimson Hunters, as well as their Wraithwing Fighters, can also do a lot of damage on heavy targets. So it's a very anti-meta list. Let's see why, how he went undefeated. Dayton Obrey went a little different route. He started with a super heavy detachment of Chaos Knights, took a Dreadblad Damnation, and then Knights of Spoiler, all with twin Venture Gatling cannons, and then 1, 2, 3, 4 War Dogs, all of them with War Dog auto cannons. And then he went with a battalion of Thousand Suns featuring Ahriman and Exalted Sorcerer. Interesting, no Demon Prince. A unit of Rubric Marines and Aspiring Sorcerer. So it's a unit of two units of Rubric Marines, one unit of Zangors, the max blob of 30. And then added for added fun, a super heavy auxiliary detachment featuring none other than Mortarion. That is a wild list. There's a lot of big models on the table.
Some people like to do that.
Some people do like to do that.
Initiating attack protocol 23.
You know what I like to do?
What's that?
Go on to the next event.
All right. So the next one is the Super Secret GT.
We can't talk about that.
In 5th place, Eugene Quilia playing Imperium. In 4th place, Andrew Ford with Imperium. In 3rd place, Richard Martin with Adeptus Custodes. In 2nd place was Carter Leach playing Aletok. And in 1st was John Lennon playing Gene Sealer Cult.
So interesting, John Lennon's been tearing it up, and Carter Leach has definitely made a comeback. He's the guy who 2 years ago made Corsairs big. So take a look at John Lennon's list first. He is running Gene Stealer Cult, starts with the Twisted Helix, and took the specialist attachment of the Anointed Throng, which is always great for people who work radio to not say that correctly. HQ choice is the Abominant as well as the Patriarch with a Familiar. He's got 3 units of 10 Brood Brother infantry squads, unit of 10 Aberrants, 8 with power picks, 2 with improvised heavy weapons, otherwise known as the stop sign. A second unit of the same thing, a Biophagus with a Familiar, and a Clamphus. I can never say these words. And a Nexos. I feel like I'm ordering like new equipment for my Wi-Fi whenever I read a Gene Stealer list. Anyway. Second Battalion is also Twisted Helix. This time it's the Deliverance Brood Surge. Excuse me. That features Acolyte Akana Ward, a Patriarch. 1 unit of 20 Acolyte Hybrids, all with Hand Flamers. A second unit with 6 Heavy Rock Saws. And then another unit of Brood Brothers. And his third attachment is actually Gene Stealer Cult, but this time... is a mixed creed featuring a Patriarch, a Primus, 3 more units of 10 Brood Brothers, and a Sanctus. So lots of heavy hitting from the Rock Saws, lots of hitting from the Aberrants. So it's kind of a variant on the Muscle Beach variant that Nick Donivati made famous. And then you've got the heavy shooting, which is similar to what we've seen in other lists with all the Hand Flamers, but I also see a lot of the Rock Saws, which is similar to what Juice ran at Adepticon. So it's got quite a bit of mix, and it's got a ton of characters. So definitely Headhunter if you're doing secondaries on him. Carter Leach took a more refined approach, taking a Laetok in his first Craft Roads, but he also took the Windrider Host. Starts with an Autarch Skyrunner with Fusion Pistol and Laser Lance, so he's taking advantage of all the index fun. Took us 2 other Autarch Skyrunners, both with Banshee Masks, and 1 with a Fusion Gun, 1 with a Fusion Pistol, also with Laser Lances at the ready. 3 units of 5 Rangers, 1, 2, 3 units of Wind Riders, all with Scatter Lasers, 1 unit of 6, 2 units of 5. He then rocks a... looks like Ulathay. Doesn't say specifically. Yes, it is Ulathay. Featuring Eldrad and the Spirit Seer, and then the 20-man Guardian Blob to suck up lots of fire, and then 2 units of 8 Storm Guardians, and then finally a Laetok Airwing, featuring a Hemlock Fighter, and the rare, but not never seen, Phoenix Bomber. He's got 2 of those. Those of you who are not familiar with that, that thing is basically a take a Falcon and give it the aircraft rolls. It's 205 points, comes stock with a crystal targeting matrix, Phoenix Pulse Razor, and the Phoenix Missile Array. So basically, the Pulse Laser is just like any other. It's 2 shots, strength 8, 2 damage. I think it's AP minus 3. I could be wrong. And then the Phoenix Missile Launcher is like almost like a Tempest cannon that the Dark Reaper Exarch has, 2d6 shots, and ignores cover. It's really nasty. It's a very hard model to find, so I'm envious of Carter if he has 2 of those in his collection from Forge World. Ray, what's our next event?
All right, the next one is Into the Hellstorm 3, 1750, Warhammer 40,000, major ITC event. Bit of a mouthful.
Seems appropriate to go leave Florida into the Hellstrom.
Yeah. In 5th place, we had Scott Nichols playing Chaos Demons. 4th was Nick McDade playing Dark Angels. In 3rd place was Simon Prittis playing Tau.
Wow, he gave up orcs.
In 2nd place was Bethany Taylor playing Cabal of the Black Heart. And in 1st is Jay Middlecoat playing Imperial Knights.
Yep. You started with House Crast, a super heavy detachment, 3 Knight Crusaders, and a Armiger Helverin. And then that's his whole army. Wow. That fits on a napkin. Excellent, because we're short on time. Bethany's Cabal of the Black Heartless is a little more involved. It starts off with a battalion featuring two Archons, stock, and then 1, 2, 3, 4 Cabalite Warrior squads with a specialist featuring a blaster in all of them. 3 Ravagers, all with disintegrator cannons, and then the 4 Venoms for the aforementioned Cabalite Warriors. He then does an air wing of Cabal of the Black Heart, featuring 3 Razor Wing jet fighters and 2 Void Raven bombers with Dark Size and Void Raven missiles. That's an interesting list. The Venoms are good for anti-personnel, but being that they're Cabal of the Black Heart, they got a 6 up feel no pain, so they're pretty much the objective grabbers. The Ravager sits in the back, rerolling 1s to hit and rolls to wound. And then for the heavy lifting, he's got the Void Raven. Has the Void Raven bombers and the Razorwing Jetwings. I might have to try that list out. That's pretty cool.
Cleanse, purge, kill.
Let's move on to the next event so I can steal some more lists.
All right, the next one is the LWG presents the Bad Moon GT Series Heat 3. In fifth place, we had James Pilkington playing Imperium. In fourth place.
That's an awesome name. There's nobody in America named Pilkington. That's, you know, this is a British event.
Well, that and the fact that a couple people have the team name of West London or London in their names kind of gives it away, too.
There's a New London, Connecticut. I don't know if anybody plays any game. Anybody from New London, Connecticut who's still playing Warhammer, reach out to us. We need to know. Anyway, moving on.
In fourth place was, I don't know quite how it's pronounced, perhaps Shubin. Chowdhury? It's
Chowdhury, yep.
Okay. He played Asuriani. In third place was Tom Lewis playing Chaos. Second was Matt Reed playing Imperium. And in first place, Boris Michev playing Bad Moons.
That's right. And his list looks something like this. The battalion, he's got 2 war bosses. The Warlord has an Attack Squig and a Power Claw and a Shooter, all index options. It's got 3 units of 30 boys, all with, these are the Slugger variety. The Elite Spot, he's got a Pain Boy with a Power Claw. In the Heavy Spots, he's got 15 Ludas. Second attachment is also Bad Moons, 2 Weird Boys, 3 units of 10 Gretchen. And then his third battalion, battalion. Also Bad Moons. This time he takes the Dread Waw Specialty Detachment. 2 big mechs, choppas, and one's a choppa with a Grot Oiler. The other one's got the souped-up shock attack gun. 3 units of 10 Gretchen, and then a large contingent of mech guns. 2 units identical. 3 smasher guns and 2 tractor cannons for a total of 8 smasher guns, and 4 tractor cannons on the table. So, flyers, be aware of that list. Matt Reed, rocked in the Imperialist, has got a wide variety of all things good guy, featuring a super heavy detachment of House Tyrannus, Knight Crusader, 1, 2, 3 of them. And then goes into Adeptus Mechanicus, Greya, Forge World, featuring 2 Tech Priest Engine Seers, 3 units of 5 Skitarii Vanguard, and then goes into Astra Militarum. Took Vestroian. See a lot more of Vestroian in these English events. Interesting. 10 commanders with Punisher Gatling guns and 3 units of 10 infantry squads.
Initiating attack protocol 23.
Let's get one more stamp in the passport. Where are we going to now?
All right. Our last event to talk about tonight is the SummerSlam GT. In it, in fifth place, we had Matt Smith playing Chaos Space Marines. In fourth was Eric Hoth playing Gene Stealer Cult. Third place was James McKenzie playing Gene Stealer Cult. Second was Thomas Dutch playing Orcs.
I'll go with that.
In first was Mark Crumbleholm playing Eldari.
Mark's made some changes to his list since we last talked about it. He starts out with the Prophet of Flesh to Battalion, featuring Urien as his warlord, and Homoculus with the Vexador Mask. Three units of five racks and three units of seven grotesques. Then he takes the Cabal with the Blackheart Flyer Detachment, featuring three razor wings. And then last but not least, he takes a Soaring Spite Vanguard. That's a Harlequins for all you Monkey out there. Featuring a Shadow Seer with Twilight Pathways and Shards of Light. And three Death Jesters and six Haywire Jet Sky Reaver Jet Bikes. Interesting list. Curious. That's got a lot of board presence with that large block of grotesques. That could do pretty well. Thomas brought orcs, and they look something like this. Lots and lots of green. First battalion is Death Skulls. He took the Dread Waw, so two Beg Mechs with Shock Attack Gun. I'm sure one of them would get the souped-up relic version. Three units of 10 Gretchen. Then starts a second battalion of Bad Moons, featuring a Ruthard, two Weird Boys, and then these are much larger blocks of Gretchen. One unit of 30, one unit of 21, one unit of 10, and a unit of 15 Ludas. And his third attachment is Evil Sons, featuring a War Boss on foot, a War Boss on bike, the Index, and a Weird Boy. Three units of 30 boys, all of them of the Slug of Variety, and two Pain Boys, one on foot, one on bike. And, oh, I forgot, he also has a small unit of 10 boys that's stuck in there on the page break. So lots and lots of bodies, lots and lots of green. Where to next?
That was the last one.
Fantastic. As promised, we will get into depth. For those who had not seen it on the Warhammer community page, every Space Marine chapter tactic that's in the current Space Marine Codex has been enhanced. We'll go over each one in detail, and let's see what you guys have to think right after this. Hey there, Eric from the Exterminatus podcast, and I'm talking to all you tournament organizers out there. Do you have an event coming up? Now, naturally, we talk about all those GT and major level events coming up throughout week to week, but we usually do it after the fact. If you want to talk about your event ahead of time to get some more people to come to your event, this is your opportunity. We are opening up our ad space for some lucky TOs to, you know, let us know about your event. Give us a minute to talk about what makes your event special and glow about your event, so drive some like-minded competitive 40K players to your particular area. Hit us up on our Facebook page for more details, and we'd love to support your local community. So here our way of giving back to tournament organizers throughout the world. Only your friends here at the Exterminatus podcast. Welcome back after the break. And as we mentioned, some previews already given out this morning regarding the new Chaos. Oh, it's a heresy. I can't believe I just said that. New Codex Space Marines. Unbelievable. So we already mentioned the shock attack rules that's available to all Marines, including Grey Knights and Chaos Space Marines of all flavors and sizes. But these chapter tactics are specific to the ones in the Space Marine Codex. Now, there is going to be a PDF that explains what new rules from the Codex will apply to Dark Angels and Space Wolves and whatnot. That has not been released yet, but so let's focus on these new chapter tactics. Right off the bat, Ray, you notice that it's not limited to infantry anymore.
Yeah. So I think it's probably best if we just work our way down. Otherwise, we're going to be jumping from top to bottom a lot.
Yeah.
And but, yeah.
So there's a lot of spoilers as we go along. So we'll start with the Pedro boys. Crimson Fist. So this is not much has changed since the White Dwarf update. But Ray, what do Crimson Fist got?
It's what we see is a small change. It's nice to see them in the Codex, you know, officially, and it's not just, you know, rules from the White Dwarf. But their chapter tactic is, no matter the odds, when resolving an attack made by a model with this tactic against a unit that contains at least five more models than that model's unit. So if you've got a single unit, the enemy's got to have five, but if you've got five, the enemy has to have 10 units at least. Anyway, you add one to the hit roll For the purposes of this tactic, a vehicle model with this tactic counts as 5 models. In addition, when resolving an attack made with a bolt weapon by a model with this tactic, an unmodified hit roll of a 6 scores an additional hit.
So having played other armies with this exploding sixes ability, it adds up pretty quick, especially when you have a lot of firepower. Now, obviously, the best way to play this is small units, 5-man squads. So if you go up against a unit that's 10 or more models, you get this +1 to hit. But hitting on 2s with a leader all around someplace that reroll 1s, you're easily looking at, if you can get 10 shots from the 5-man squad, you're probably looking at 10 hits. Hitting on 2s rerollable, it's about a 97% chance to hit. And then,
yeah, and let's not forget those 6s.
Right. And then you get the 6s. And if you look, if you don't like my rounding, those 6s start adding. So if you got 10 shots, you're looking at probably 1 to 2 additional hits, which is really skews the probability curve quite a bit. Very, very handy. So,
yeah. Especially with the next thing that they mention, which is they've changed the rules for the Stalker Bolt Rifle. So if anybody doesn't remember what that is the longer range heavy weapon version of the Primaris Space Marine Rifle. Its new stats is it's still range 36 and heavy 1, strength 4, it's AP minus 2, and damage 2.
Yeah, we'll get into some of the other upgrades that people may have forgotten, but something we kind of scoffed at when it came out, now you go back to it with this new profile and the Stalker Bolt Rifle. All I got to say is I hope you got a copy of Vigilus handy, because a lot of improvements in what was in there because of this little change. So, you know, they also bring up, yeah, if you roll a 6 to hit with that, that's 2 shots. You could potentially put 4 wounds on a target.
Yeah. So the next chapter mentioned is the Black Templars. They've got the Righteous Zeal chapter tactic. When a charge roll is made for a unit with this tactic, you can reroll any or all of the dice. In addition, when a model with this tactic would lose a wound as a result of a mortal wound, roll 1d6, and on a 5+, that wound is not lost.
Yeah, so powerful. Nothing's worse than when you roll for a charge, you get a 7, but it's a 6 and a 1. You're like, I guess I'll spend the command point and reroll the 1. Now you save those command points. So combine that with the shock attack roll, we get the +1 attack. Interesting. All of a sudden, Crusader squads are starting to look a little more dangerous, where they're coming in with 3 attacks each as opposed to 1. Really neat. Really great way of expanding things here.
The next one mentioned is Imperial Fists. We see a change in the Imperial Fists here. Their new one is, when resolving an attack made with ranged weapons by a model with this tactic, the target does not receive the benefit of cover to its saving throw. And if that attack was made with a bolt weapon, an unmodified hit roll of a 6 scores 1 additional hit. So a little bit similar to the Crimson Fists.
Yes, you get an ignore cover. It's a little better than the Cabal the Flayed Skull. But the most important thing we're seeing here is, finally, the meta can breathe easy that buildings are once again safe from the scourge that has been the Imperial Fists throughout the last 2 years.
If you know, I think this is just proof that they realized that people aren't trying to destroy buildings, so it's kind of a waste of ink.
Yeah, just a little bit. No, this is pretty impressive. And then take on their stratagem, which assuming is unchanged, we haven't seen that yet. But based on the old codex, Bolter Drill, pretty nasty. So get those additional hits, and then it starts stacking pretty quick. You get extra attacks every time you roll a 6. So back to our previous example, let's do a 10-man squad. You're looking at 20 shots. You're probably getting to get 3 sixes, so that's 3 additional hits. But you're also get 3 additional attacks, which means you're going to probably get 2 additional hits on top of that. So it just, you know, shots on shots on shots. You're getting the volume of fire for only a small number of Marines, and especially if you're taking Primaris Marines, which of course they want you to buy. All of them with two wounds, you've got quite a bit of staying power to go with it.
Yeah. All right. The next one is Ultramarines. They've got Codex Discipline. Add one to the leadership characteristic of models with this tactic. Units with this tactic can shoot in a turn in which they fell back, but if they do, they resolve it at a minus one on the hit roll.
So at first it's like, well, boo, this is what they had before. And then they dropped a little bombshell there in the middle.
Oh, are you talking about the regular text outside of the rule?
That's be the one.
Yeah, so they plain out say it that a change to all the chapter tactics in the Codex is that they now apply to all units in a Space Marine detachment with the only exception of servitors.
So, good luck pinning down an Ultramarine army. The old, tag, I assaulted your tank, you're not shooting next turn? No, it's just a minus one. And they bring up the Land Raider Redeemer, and that's the flamethrower one. And I just went, oh God, not that thing again. I hated that thing in 5th edition, and it's back. So, yeah. And then you take also the repulsor stuff, which already had the fly keyword. Oh, this is disgusting.
Yeah.
So if you can't get can't get behind an ultramarine unit, you're in trouble.
Well, this one might, the next chapter might be even harder to do that for. That's the White Scars. Their chapter tactic is Lightning Assault. Units with this tactic can charge in a turn in which they advanced or fell back. Biker models with this tactic do not suffer the penalty for moving and firing heavy weapons or for advancing and firing assault weapons.
Yeah, big change here. So previously they had like a add two to their movement. But now that they could still fall back and charge, but the fact that they can advance and charge puts them in line with some of the speedier Xenos armies. And now you also got to remember, we've also had the bolter discipline rule come up. So the bolters on those bikes are always double shooting for rapid fire. The White Scars may be back. I have no idea if there's a Primaris biker coming out, but good news is if you already have a whole bunch of White Scars from 7th edition, you might want to test them again on the table.
Yeah. All right, the next chapter. They haven't had too much of a change to their chapter tactics, but it's almost not surprising. That's the Raven Guard. When resolving an attack made with a ranged weapon against a unit with this tactic by a model that's more than 12 inches away, that unit is treated as having the benefit of cover to its saving throw. And if that unit is not a vehicle and is entirely on or within a terrain feature, subtract one from the hit roll.
So I'm going to deviate a little bit from Codex Space Marines for a second and just warn all your LATOC players. Read this again. You're not an automatic minus one 12 inches away anymore. So this is if you are 12 inches away, you're in cover. If you were already in cover, then you're minus one, but it doesn't count towards your vehicles. So maybe the days of minus two to hit flyers may be coming to an end. Anyway, I digress. Yeah, the little blurb there does say this does stack with smoke launchers and smoke grenades by infiltrators. So
yeah,
suddenly Marines are getting a minus two to hit too. Ugh.
All right, the next one is the Salamanders. And I kind of like how they changed theirs. Salamanders have the Forged in Battle chapter tactic. When a unit with this tactic fires Overwatch or is chosen to shoot or fight with, you can reroll a single hit roll, and you can reroll a single wound roll. When resolving an attack made with a weapon that has an armor penetration characteristic of minus one against a unit with this tactic, that weapon is treated as having an armor penetration characteristic of zero.
Both of these are awesome. If you've not experienced the single reroll to hit or to wound when you played a, I think it's a, I forgot which orc faction it is off the top of my head, something skulls, death skulls. Oh, it is brutal. And it doesn't sound like much, but it's always like, it just adds another hit, adds another wound, turns around a bad shooting or fight phase. And then the added durability of the minus one, it doesn't sound like much, but it forces you to fire your heaviest weapons against their vehicles. And you're not going to be able to plink little wounds here and there off these guys. And then you add the, assuming the stratagem hasn't changed, the plus one, the wound with all the flame weapons gets pretty nasty.
So the next one, and the last one in this article, is the one for the Iron Hands. When a model with this tactic, the flesh is weak. Go figure, that's the name of the chapter, tactic. When a model with this tactic would lose a wound, roll 1d6. I'm noticing that's a common change in how they word it. It's not roll 8, it's roll 1. I'm curious as to why they decided to change it that way. But anyway, on A6, that wound is not lost. When resolving an Overwatch attack made by a model with this tactic, a hit roll of 5 or 6 scores a hit. In addition, models with this tactic that have a damage table are considered to have double the number of wounds remaining for the purposes of determining what row is used on the damage table.
This one's just bonkers, because I've seen factions get one of these three abilities and be successful. They get three of them. It's just unbelievable. I'm just thinking, remember Don's old Iron Hands biker list he used to run?
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine that now? So he's got bolter discipline, so he's always double shooting with his rapid fire bolters. You come into a charge, he's hitting you on fives and sixes. He's got feel no pain like he always did. And then, by the way, he's got, as added support, a knight in the background, which is always at, or not knight, excuse me, but one of the bigger tanks in the back, you know, that provides some extra support that's always at double wounds. Oh, Christ. You know. I'm sure he's coming up something more murderous than that, but I just was went, what the heck is that? So.
So good day to be a Space Marine player. And I'm hoping in the next couple of days we see something about how it's going to work for anybody who wants to do their own, you know, custom chapter. You know, maybe a little bit more about that.
I hope so. There's a bit of a preview in it if you want to see their mechanics in the Chaos Knights. You know, when you pick a Dreadblade, they kind of have that kind of system. So I wouldn't be surprised if it's too different from that.
Yeah.
But I just want to call your attention to a couple of these things. Originally, I went off the deep end and started looking at like the blood angels and dark angels. And we're not sure exactly if all these traits will carry over. They say there's a PDF coming soon that allow you to download this for free and so you can play with whatever new rules are. But if you're still going to stay within Codex Space Marines, you might want to get your Vigilist book back out and reintroduce yourself to the Indominus Crusaders Special Detachment. So you can pick any of these enhanced chapter tactics we just talked about. And remember, once per game, you may choose a second one for the entire turn. Pretty interesting stuff right off the bat. So now you can get two of these stacked on top of each other. Now, quick look at this. So how does that work again? For one command point, you upgrade one of your intercessor squads from this special detachment to the veteran status. That gives them plus one attack and plus one leadership. So if you already made them Ultramarines, they're now plus two leadership, and they're now plus two attack on the charge, or if they are charged, or if they heroically intervene. Of course, I don't know why a non-character is not heroically intervening, but you get my point. So your intercessors are now four attacks. That's what, like, some close combat units start with. Look at, like, Harlequins and Witches and stuff like that. But these guys are Strength 4, Toughness 4, with Power Armor. Wait, there's more. Remember the upgrade to the Heavy Bolt Rifle? We used to laugh at that thing. Target sighted. Use the stratagem at the start of the shooting phase. Pick one of your veteran intercessor units. At the end of the phase, the Stalker bolt rifles and models are armed with the following ability. This weapon can target a character even if it's not the closest enemy unit. If you roll a 6 to wound for this weapon, it inflicts a mortal wound in addition to its normal damage. So let's say I took Crimson Fists, so I get the 6s become 2 hits. So now if I roll 6s to wounds on those double hits, I'm inflicting 3 damage, 2 regular, 1 mortal on top of that on a character, and I'm doing it with a squad of 5 to 10 models. Warlocks, run for your life. Same thing with all you Gene Stealer little grubbies that are in the elite slot. Don't like that. Still not impressed. How about this one? Rapid fire. Remember that one? Makes bolt rifles rapid fire 2 moving forward. Now you add these 6s to hit, become 2 hits. That's a lot of dice you're throwing downfield. Suddenly that unit of 5 is putting 10 to 20 shots downfield with 6s counting as double. So it's an extra, usually probably on average an extra 3 hits. Put a character behind that so you're rerolling 1s. Just nasty. Just nasty. So you might want to go back and look at it, Vigilus, one more time.
So, like I said a bit ago, it's a good day to be a Space Marine player.
Good thing to be a Space Marine player. hold your own, guys. If you're not a Space Marine player, there's definitely some work to be done in terms of how to work our way around this. So let's see what we can do. But yeah, there's quite a few other things. Sword Brethren, by the way, if you're playing your Black Templars, there's ways to pick up an additional attack in the phase. Plus, you can reroll wounds, so all of a sudden you're now plus 3 on the charge. That's how I was mentioned, how you get 3 attacks on your Crusader squads. Just lots of new options available to you. So dust off the Vigilus book, have a look at this particular page, re-listen to this episode, whatever it does. There's plenty of new combinations out there. So a lot more news to come out this week. And as more things come breaking, we will post it on our Facebook page. Meantime, we're going to take a break, talk about the ITC Top 10, as well as upcoming ITC events. Be back in a minute. Welcome back after the break. Let's take a look at your ITC top 10 as we look at this at first week of August. So interesting to see Jim Vessel actually won an event over the weekend. Was it enough to hold up TJ Lanigan? Let us find out. In 10th place, Mr. Nice Guy Rich Kilton is finally knocked out of the top 10 and replaced with Matthew Lee, who's actually a nice guy as well. But interesting, it's the first time we've seen this all season that you have to have a minimum of 1,000 points to crack the ITC top 10. So Matthew, good Texas guy, has broken into the top 10. Devin Swan, also of Canada, finishes in 9th place and with 1,002 points. Jeff Robinson, still holding down to the 8th position. I still can't get used to he's not with us anymore. 7th place, we mentioned John Lennon winning the event over the weekend. He climbs into 7th place. 6th place, Chris Blackham, able to hold on to the top 10 position with 1,031 points. Richard Siegler just ahead of him by, looks like, 0.4 of a point. 4th place, Nick Nadavati. 3rd place, Manny Chima. 2nd place, yep, not enough. TJ Lanigan still holding off the 2nd place slot. He's got a 40-point lead over Manny Chima, but he is almost 55 points behind the Canadian Conqueror. Jim Vessel and his army reunited back in the top spot at 1,141 points. Ray, what events do we have got coming up next week?
All right, next week we've got the Borlang Smackdown in Borlang, Sverige.
Sounds like Sweden.
I believe that's somewhere up there in Scandinavia. Got the Hammer of Wrath 2019 at Empire Game Empire Pasadena, Pasadena, California.
Okay, that's a great event.
Yeah. There's the Siege World 2019 40K Championship at the Gateway Center.
Whenever you say that, I keep thinking that Shamu will be there. I don't know why.
Okay. Warzone Gigabyte Stream at Gigabyte's Cafe in Marietta, Georgia. There's the London Open Part 2 at the Dark Sphere in England.
All right.
And that looks to be
so it. Two quick topics. I redirect you guys to our Facebook page. Next week will be our 100th episode. My goodness. And as a special feature, we will be doing a Ask Us Anything segment. So we'll be posting that on our webpage, a link, and you guys can post the questions you want to know about yours truly and my glorious co-host, Ray. Again, we're still a clean podcast, so we'll try to answer the questions as clean as possible. But it is open to not only 40K questions, but all things. Make it interesting. We're also going to put up a second thing. We want to get your thoughts on this. So interesting, in the first week of December in Atlanta, the guys that are putting on a large event, and it's actually creating quite a stir throughout the community. I want to get your guys' opinion on this. It is the Atlanta Open and Tabletop Pro. Excuse me, make sure it's got the Tabletop ProTabletop.com has all the information there. What makes this site interesting in this tournament? It is a single elimination event. Grand prize, $5,000. Let me say that again, $5,000. Not a truckload of prize support. I'm hoping you're not getting cash. That'd be like really hard to get on the plane. But you're getting a check for $5,000. Now, in addition to that, they are also kind of reinventing a new flavor of competitive 40K. And there's a lot of interesting changes that they're making to the game. We've not seen this type of reinvention since probably the last mission change we had from ITC. So it's definitely a change in a different direction. Is it a good direction? Is it a bad direction? Debate it on our Facebook page, and we'll talk about it next week's show. In the meantime, leave us a review on iTunes, and I want to thank you again for listening to the Exterminatus podcast. Once again, my name's Eric.
And I'm Raymond.
And thank you for listening.